Welcome to Home on the Res, a radio podcast about housing on First Nations. I'm Jennifer Francis.
And I'm Mick Favel. We are journalism students at the First Nations University of Canada. We're both from Treaty 4 Territory in Saskatchewan. I am from the Kwakwatoose First Nation.
And I'm from the Kaktwishtahow First Nation. We've been working with the First Nations National Building Officers Association, or FNBOA, to produce this radio podcast series about housing on First Nations across Canada. We're going to bring you stories about reserves that have improved their housing and some that are still struggling.
The idea for these podcasts came from the members of FNBOA.
FNBOA represents the housing inspectors who work in communities across Canada.
What was really cool about working on this project is that we got to hear some really good stories about housing.
That's right. When have you ever heard a good news story about housing on First Nations? The media always seems to focus on the negative stories.
That's right. If you only get your news from the news, you think that nothing good ever happened on a reserve.
But there are some really great stories. Stories about communities that are engaging their people in new housing programs, working with youth to reduce vandalism, leading the way with new construction methods, building houses that are so energy efficient that they can be heated with just 6 light bulbs.
No way! 6 light bulbs?
Yep. 6. Some First Nations have set up housing authorities, and some are helping their people to buy homes on the reserves.
And every person we talked to wanted to share what they've learned.
That's right. They're giving away all their housing secrets for free.
For the first episode of Home on the Res, you got to talk to my hero, Mr. Ted Nolan.
Ted grew up on the Garden River Reserve near Sault Ste. Marie, Ontario. He played for the Detroit Red Wings and the Pittsburgh Penguins, and he coached the Buffalo Sabres and the New York Islanders. Then he went to Europe and coached international hockey.
In 1997, he received the Jack Adams Award for being the top coach in the NHL.
A few months ago, Ted Nolan was at the First Nations University to announce that through his foundation, he is offering the Rose Nolan Scholarship, named after his mom. The scholarship is for women who are enrolled in post-secondary education.
What a guy. So did he talk hockey or housing?
A bit of both. Mostly he talked about growing up with his family in a tiny home on the Garden River First Nation.
Really? I didn't know they had tiny homes back then.
No. He grew up in a tiny home, not a tiny home.
That clears things up.
It will all become clear. Here's Ted Nolan.
My name is Ted Nolan. I'm one of 12 children. I was the third youngest. 6 brothers and 5 sisters. We're from the Garden River First Nation. I'm Ojibwe. The community is just outside of the city of Sault Ste. Marie in northern Ontario.
Can you tell me a little bit about the home that you grew up in?
The home that I grew up in, oh man, I bet you it was about a house about 20 feet by 25 feet. It was a very, very small, very small house. Electricity we didn't get till I believe a little bit later, and probably you know, I was about 8 years old or so. So we had had a wood stove and paneling on the house. It was used to be, I forget what kind of paneling it used to be, but it wasn't very warm. You could hear the wind blowing through the house at nighttime, especially in the wintertime when it got extremely cold. And so it was a very small house with I still remember kind of like those big checkered floor they used to have. I tell people to this day, I wouldn't change it for the world. 12 of us there, it was a house full of people all the time. Our house was the focal point. Brothers and sisters who married, they always come back. We all stayed within the neighborhood. So I remember Christmas time, it was packed. New Year's Eve was packed, and family all the time, uncles and aunts and brothers and sisters. And there was a house. Certainly, we lacked a lot of material things. We certainly didn't lack support and love within the family in that house for sure.
How did your hockey career? How was your career affected by your childhood home? Was there places to play hockey when on the reserve? Or?
I share the story everywhere I go. My first recollection of hockey is I made my own rink in my backyard of my house when I was growing up, and we didn't have electricity. We didn't have running water. So I made a rink in my backyard. I would say maybe 25 feet by 30 feet, not very big, but I made it with a pail of water. And it was in the back of my house. So I had to pump. I had to make a fire to thaw out the pump first because it froze. So I make a fire, thaw it out, pump a pail of water, walk around the back of my house, throw it down, walk back, fill it up again, and walk back again and back again. And now I think back of that, it must have took me forever. But that's where I learned the love of the game. And I left the reserve when I was 16 years old. I boarded in a house in Kenora, Ontario, probably the first time when I was 16. Then I boarded in the city in Sault Ste. Marie but 2 years later in 18 because I was playing with the Sioux Greyhounds. And then I turned pro. Then I lived in probably, I would say, 8 to 10 different towns in Kansas City, Kansas, to Detroit, Michigan, to Baltimore, to Buffalo, to Rochester, New York. So I even lived in a part-time over in two different countries. I worked over in Latvia, and I worked in Poland. As much as my house wasn't much of a house to live in, I couldn't wait to come home after every hockey season.
And I assume that they are all vastly different from your childhood home, but how different would you say that these other places were?
The houses were completely different. I had two or three bathrooms in the house sometimes, extra bedrooms. And the one thing I always remembered in those houses, the thing that vastly was different to me was, and still amazing to me today, is my fridge was full of food. And when I was growing up, there wasn't too much food in it.
And was there any similarities at all between your childhood home and then all of the places that you've lived?
As we tried to make it as homey as we possibly can. We brought some, brought some things with us that always remained with me since I left home. My mother, I have a scholarship. It's called the Ted Nolan Foundation. We give out Rose Nolan scholarships in the name of my late mother, who was tragically killed in a drunk driving accident when I was only 21 years old, on reserve. And I wanted to honor her some way. And she gave me a medicine pouch when I was only about 6 years old. So all the houses I've been to, that pouch always comes with me. And it travels with me all the time.
Out of all of the homes that you've lived in, where do you think you have the best memories?
Probably my house I grew up in was certainly the most memories. And myself, when I got when I was married, I had my two boys in our own little house that we built on my uncle's property on reserve. Early Christmases, I made a rink in the backyard similar to I made when I was a kid in our house. So a lot of similarities from my house to my own first house that I owned. It was just a small bungalow, same size as my house that I grew up in. And that's where my boys both developed their skills for hockey, plus developed their love of family.
So you've described it a little bit through the interview, but what kind of home do you live in now? End up, where is it?
Actually, I still live in Garden River First Nation. I built a little bungalow. I used to trap when I was a kid. My uncle owned some water on the St. Mary's and Garden River, where they both meet just down the road from where I grew up in. And my mom asked me when I was 16 years old, she asked me where I wanted to live when I got older. And I mentioned where Uncle Jack lives, and we went down and met him, and he gave me a little piece of his land when I was 16 years old. And when I turned pro hockey, when I was 20, 21, I built a little small bungalow on that property. And since that point, I sold that house to my cousin, and I built a new house. So it's a little bit bigger bungalow, kind of. I got a little walk-out basement. It's not a huge house, but it's a nice one on a Garden River First Nation, where I built my first house and where I trapped. So home is in Garden River, Ontario. I rent other places in different towns, obviously, to work, but home is in Garden River.
So what are you most proud of about your home? Is it the fact that you built it yourself, or that you're still so close to the family, or...?
Probably the probably, you know, the one thing I didn't want to, my father told me when I was a real young age, and my father passed away when I was only 15 years old. And before he passed, he one thing he always told me, he said, don't rely on the government for anything. And at that point, I didn't know what government was. And he talked to me about the importance of working and work for things. And if somebody wants to give you something for nothing, don't take it. It's not worth having. And so so to get to your question, the proudest thing I am is I bought and paid for my own house.
That's awesome. So when you hear the expression, there's no place like home, what does it mean to you?
That's so true. There is no place like home, and that's one thing I've always cherished about going back home to Garden River with my family. I got a lot of nephews and nieces, and a lot of my siblings, my brothers and sisters have passed on, but they still got a lot of their kids around home. And the one thing I try to pass on to my children is family and home, and they both seem to catch on to that, because there's nothing more important. Everywhere I go, I'm probably the most proud of being Ojibwe and being from where I'm from and where I grew up, and the history of our people and what they had to endure in order for us to be here. So my biggest thing in life is to honor them in some way, and the only way to honor is to do better, and to, if you know better, you do better. And so all the struggles and all the fight they went through was for us. And so we want to continue that fight make our nation strong.
That was awesome, Jennifer. Ted Nolan is such an inspiring person. I knew a lot about his hockey career, but it's nice to learn how he grew up on his First Nation.
Thanks, Mick. I was really honored to talk to him, and he raised a lot of the issues that we will cover in future episodes of Home on the Res.
That's right. He talked about overcrowding, which is still a major problem for many families on reserve. I can't believe they had 14 people in a house that was only 500 square feet. They must have been piled on top of each other.
And the hardship of raising children in a house that was drafty and cold.
He also talked about home ownership and how proud he was to buy his own home.
Someday, I want to buy my own home.
Do you think you'll buy a home on your First Nation?
I'm not sure. It's pretty complicated, and you can never own the land, of course.
That's true, but some First Nations are making it possible for people to own their own house, even if the land remains as reserve land.
Absolutely. Who knows how things will evolve as more and more of our people decide to go home to their First Nations.
You know what really stood out for me? Was the difference between a house and a home. We're going to talk a lot about housing on reserve, but I think what we really need to figure out is how to have homes that are safe and secure, modern, and also efficient. Homes that we can be proud of.
That's why we called our show Home on the Res. Thanks for listening to this episode of Home on the Res. Tune in to Indigenous radio stations across Canada to hear our next show.
If you've missed any of our episodes, you can find them at the Radio Finboa link at www.fnnboa.ca.
We'd love to hear from you. If you have any comments, you can leave them at 613-236-2040.
Or you can email info@fnnboa.ca.
Thanks to our Chase producer, Annette Ermine, producer, writer, and editor, Shannon Avison, and our executive producer, John Kudrowski.
I'm Mick Favel.
And I'm Jennifer Francis. Thanks for listening to Home on the Res.